was kind of weird recording with other people in here yesterday.
I know. I kind of forgot about it until Mariah was like, "You sew over pins?"
And she was all shocked.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I have to put on my best behavior for my kiddos.
And I wondered if Nancy was listening to us or if she was listening to something in her ears, like listening to something else. Yeah.
Man, I love the fact that hearing aids are now Bluetooth. They can hook up with whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant.
I mean, people basically walk around with AirPods in all the time anyway.
Yeah.
I don't see how people have those in their ears all the time because my ears are too small and the AirPods, one, just fall out. But also, how does it not hurt?
You know, my husband has the second gen AirPods, and I can't stand the way they feel in my ears. The first ones actually fit. Normally, in-ear headphones really hurt my ears.
Ugh, yeah, it like hurts the cartilage. And then you take it out and it hurts for a long time. This is Be Createful, a podcast about finding fullness through creativity. I'm Joe.
And I'm Madison. And today on episode 80, we're talking about...
80?
Yeah, our podcast is an octogenarian now.
Octogenarian?
Yes, I think that's how you say that.
That's someone who's 80?
People who are in their 80s.
Oh.
Yes. So our podcast is now in its 80s. Still looking good. Still feeling fine.
Because it wears sunscreen.
That's right.
Okay, today on episode 80...
Let's get uncomfortable.
Because we're getting old. Because we're 80 now.
Well, you know, some people get uncomfortable when they go into nursing homes because they're confronted with this idea of aging.
Oh.
And it just makes them really like, ooh.
Yeah. Or you're talking about hearing aids earlier.
Yeah.
And people don't want to get them because they think it means they're old.
Exactly. I got really worried when I had something wrong with my tooth and I thought, I'm only 28. Like, I can't have anything wrong with me yet. And I got some of the best advice I had ever gotten about, like, health issues.
At the dentist?
No. It was actually from a friend who I was commiserating with. She goes, don't shame yourself for what you need. Regardless of whatever age you are, get what you need to take care of yourself.
Okay.
I was like, she's right. So if I have to, I don't know, get one of those... stools so I can sit down in the shower earlier than I expect to in life. That's all right. It's what I need.
Also, sitting down in the shower sounds kind of nice.
Sometimes you're tired, man. You just need to take a seat.
What did you call this episode?
Let's get uncomfortable.
Let's get uncomfortable. Yeah. Okay.
So are you ready to get uncomfortable?
Yeah. We've talked before. I know you've mentioned this more than me in our tips on various topics.
Yes.
You will always... say something about like get used to being uncomfortable, you know, get like let yourself be uncomfortable. And we use that as a tip. So now we're going to kind of explore maybe why that's a tip and such.
Yeah. Well, how have you gotten uncomfortable recently? Have you?
Well, today specifically.
Okay.
I put myself in a very uncomfortable situation and I went and got my MRI with contrast. And the contrast is when they shoot dye into the joint that is getting an MRI.
Oh, like with a needle and stuff?
Mm-hmm. So I don't want to make anyone like...
Yeah, we're not...
If you are the queasy type, as am I don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the part of the story I will tell. I knew I was likely to pass out because I always do when it involves any procedure. Like, it's not even needles. I pass out at the eye doctor when they dilate my eyes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. I was reminding Mooli of that when we were talking about it on the phone yesterday. And she started laughing. She said, I forgot about that. Oh. I said, I'm so glad that my medical trauma is bringing you joy. Yes, I got my eyes dilated. He shined the bright light to look into inside of my brain.
Yeah.
And I just slid right out of the chair.
Whoa.
Like, and he had to catch me. I mean, Mooli was with me, so I was still no older than, like, high school, probably.
This is going to sound really dumb, but it kind of makes me think of those fainting goats. Whenever they encounter something scary, they just freeze and fall over.
Yeah. So it is a vasovagal response.
Vasovagal response. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I will pass out, like... Well, I don't always all the way pass out, but I will get very lightheaded and almost pass out. Like if I stand up too fast, mm-hmm. Or if I've been like kneeling, you know, squatting down and then I stand up because the blood is pooling in my legs.
Yes.
So your vagal nerve, I guess, is in your legs. Hmm. And that is where the response is coming from.
Interesting.
So it's always set off by a trigger. Mine is medical. Like sometimes even the smell of alcohol will do it.
Oh, like disinfectant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
So I know that
you were about to have a procedure where they had to do something to your shoulder and you're like, I'm going to pass out.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter like the whole drive there. You know, I'm telling myself it's going to be fine. It's not going to, it's going to be over. Like before you know it,
mm-hmm.
you'll be fine. You'll be fine. But it's not psychological. It's physiological.
Yes.
And so our body like does the functions it needs to do. Like mm-hmm. you can only hold your pee in for so long before it's going to come out.
And so what happened at the procedure?
So I told them,
yeah.
You know, when the first person who came in, she was like a tech or something. Mm-hmm. And I told her there's a 98% chance that I will pass out. And she was like, okay, good to know. I didn't know I'd be laying down. When I've had a steroid shot before, I had to sit up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they laid me down and like tilted the table. So my head was already lower than my legs. So they like tilted me backward. They gave me an ice pack and like put it behind my neck. So they were already, you know,
prepping you.
Yeah. And I didn't pass out during the procedure. They gave me lots of time. The doctor was talking me through it. You know, he was being very understanding. And he does this, like, this is his job.
Yes.
And so he said, this is nothing new. You know, you're not a pansy.
Mm-hmm.
So it had been several minutes. I, like, sat up. They put me in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And I, like, felt it coming on again.
Oh.
And, like, my vision goes blurry. The sound will drop out of my ears. So then I had to, like, wait. He said, it's been, like, 5 minutes. Like, it's been
a while.
I seem fine. And then it will... it comes on. So it's just always embarrassing.
Yeah.
Because anyway.
who wants to like faint in the middle of somewhere?
Yeah.
It's very dramatic. It seems like.
And then it makes me feel bad. Like it still takes my body a long time to recover. Anyway, I didn't pass out.
Yes.
I know.
That's awesome.
So, but I was still, the whole process is uncomfortable. So it's uncomfortable because one, I'm afraid I'm going to pass out.
Yes.
That's embarrassing, blah, blah, whatever. It's uncomfortable because I have to tell someone my weakness. Yes. Perceived weakness. I have to tell them, okay, just so you know, it's more likely than not that I will pass out. They have to
and
make special accommodations.
Yeah. About what they think about you.
Yes. And so I guess that part of it is psychological. Like I work myself up, but it's not about the shot or the whatever, mm-hmm. I work myself up about, am I going to pass out or not?
Yes.
So
that's a lot. I mean, cause that's mental and physical
stress
that you're going through.
And then the MRI was like, no big deal. That was very comfortable. And I know that is what would put a lot of people over the edge cause it's small space or whatever. But I thought I'm going to take a nap in here.
There you go.
Anyway.
Nice.
So,
well, I have gotten uncomfortable recently as well.
Tell me.
Nowhere near as well. It wasn't a medical situation. Oh. I love to dance, but I am not good at it. I have no rhythm, but I love moving my body.
But dancing is one that I bet a lot of people can relate to.
Yes.
That makes me feel uncomfortable too.
Exactly. Well, they have this new hip hop dance class at my gym, and I've been wanting to go. They turn the lights off and they have like the strobe lights or not strobe lights, like rainbow lights going.
Yeah.
They got the good music. I was like, yeah, I want to go to that. And I heard it's a really good workout. But if you've ever been to a workout studio, it's mirrors all along the front. So everyone in the front can still see what's going on in the back. Uh-huh. And especially if you're in the middle or at the front, you've got people staring at your butt the whole time, or so you think.
Right.
And I had never been to the class before. I don't know any of the moves. So I was pretty uncomfortable. And then Richard, my husband, goes, oh, I want to go with you. And some people, that would be a comfort to them. It was not to me.
Uh-huh.
Because I thought, he's going to watch me go in there and make an utter fool of myself.
But would he not make a fool of himself?
I wouldn't know. He was in the back and I was not looking at him. Like, he was behind me. So I was definitely less concerned about what he was doing.
Yeah.
I was so concerned with me. And then I also, since I'm not coordinated, I could smack someone in the face if I'm not careful. Yeah. I could trip someone.
Yeah.
And it is. It's a very uncomfortable situation to go into a new class that you don't know what's going on. And you already know that you're probably not going to be very good at something.
Yes.
But I wanted to go because I love dancing and I love moving around and good music.
That experience brings up a point I hadn't really thought about yet. And maybe you have already are prepared to think about it this mm-hmm. way. But that idea of like being uncomfortable socially. So I think that can also happen like politically or spiritually, you know, where other people are involved, but yeah. like a social discomfort, you wouldn't be uncomfortable dancing to the same songs, to the same moves and all of that in your own house.
Absolutely not. I dance by myself in the kitchen all the time, but there's no one there to watch me.
Right. So then it's when other people are introduced to the equation that the discomfort sinks in.
Yeah. And sometimes I wish that there were like you're talking about a medical procedure earlier. I wish there were some medical procedures that could be done either like with you and just one other person or like very isolated, because I feel like when there's like a lot of nurses or other people around or your family, sometimes people feel like they have to put on a strong face mm-hmm. or they have to, again, like just look good for the other people in the room rather than just focusing on the process that they're going through right now.
And then you are also thinking, well, I don't want to look like I'm uncomfortable. So you're mm-hmm. trying to cover that up too.
Exactly.
So then that adds a whole nother layer of responsibility, or you don't want to make anyone else feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking that on as well.
Yep. There's all sorts of layers to being uncomfortable.
Well, here's another aspect and another kind of what brought this up as a topic for us to talk about on the podcast. If you follow Make Do on Instagram, you would maybe have already seen this, but I recently put stickers on our doors that say all are welcome here. And just to make sure that people know that this is a safe place. And I really thought about like how I wanted to write that caption, explaining like why I was putting the stickers or what they mean. And we had a few people unfollow us, which I expected.
Mm-hmm.
But it made me start realizing through that process of our stickers saying like all are welcome here. Not everyone will feel welcome here. Even the fact that I put those stickers on the door would make some people be like, oh, but now I'm not welcome here because mm-hmm. that sticker's on the door. And I thought, what can we do? Like, what is our role to make sure that people know that they're welcome? And then I started boiling down like why would someone not feel welcome all of a sudden? And I think that this idea of comfort fits into it, that being welcome and Make Do being a welcoming place is not synonymous with being comfortable. It doesn't mean that everyone will feel comfortable being here.
I think that's an easier topic to consider when you take it. Well, I have a good example for this. When I'm teaching kids, the ones that feel comfortable, whether it be in a classroom or when I'm here at Make Do, the ones that are comfortable here take off their shoes. Mm. Whether their feet smell good or not.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm at, you know, when I'm in a school setting, I have to tell the kids, you got to put on your shoes. Mm. This is not your house. You cannot do the same things you would do at your house that you do here. You are welcome to be here, but there are certain rules and boundaries that you cannot cross because it will make other people uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't want to smell your stinky feet,
mm-hmm.
but you can keep your shoes on and be just as welcome and be and do what you need to get done here.
Right. Or even if we look at the makeup of a class, so whether it's an adult class or a kid class, sometimes we will have men join and they may be the only man. That might feel uncomfortable to them.
Oh, yeah.
But they are as welcome as anyone else who is here.
Mm-hmm.
So it just has made me start thinking about what is our role specifically at Make Do, but also just as we are engaging in community with making people feel welcome. How do we do that? Mm-hmm. But we're talking about specifically being being uncomfortable today. So then is it even within my ability to make sure someone else feels comfortable? Because that seems like something that's out of my control.
A lot of people's feelings are out of your control. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on, that you have very little that you can actually control. Mm-hmm. But being uncomfortable is just part of life. It's unavoidable. You do have a comfort zone, whether that be your house or your maybe a special place that you have. It may be even a place in your mind. But if you stay in that comfortable place, you'll never get to learn and grow and expand yourself, or even find that you're expanding your comfort zone a little bit more.
Well, and it's not all physical either. Like, I have a creative comfort zone.
Exactly.
I said in, you know, last week's episode, I don't like doing new things. I don't like doing things that I know I'm not going to be good at. That's very uncomfortable for me.
Yeah, but you might discover something new that you love, or a process that you're particularly good at, or even just finding a method that you can incorporate into the places that you are comfortable. Learning can be uncomfortable and it can feel strange, but it's important.
I would say that probably most of the time learning is uncomfortable.
Yeah. I think the only time it isn't is when you're telling a joke. Because that is a new pathway of learning where you're like, oh, that's an unexpected line of logic.
Oh.
And so your response to maybe being uncomfortable or to being surprised is laughter. But you're learning a new line of logic.
Well, laughter is a way that particularly women often show their discomfort.
That's very true.
When someone says something that makes them feel uncomfortable, and then women laugh, and so then people think that it's appropriate.
Oh, it's fine. But then we're giggling to ourselves going, oh, you're an
that
awful
made
person.
Me so uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yeah. I interrupted you. You were talking about learning.
Oh, just learning can be uncomfortable, but it's a necessary part of life. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you become stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just not good when you become a stagnant person. I could throw out some statistics, but they're rather morbid. So just know. So just know it's important for you to keep learning.
Yeah. So one of the thoughts that I had is that it's easier to avoid things or situations that we know will make us uncomfortable.
Oh, 100%. When my husband's like, yeah, come join us for this like group video game we're playing. And I just know that it's going to be something that I'm not good at. And I will lag everyone behind. And I'm just not going to maybe even enjoy it as much as doing something else. But what he's inviting me to do is to come into community with him and his friends. And that was the important piece.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I say yes, even though it's something I don't want to be doing, because it's someone who's inviting me in.
And it's interesting that you said that, because my thought process was that avoiding things just because they're going to make us uncomfortable shuts down the opportunity for communication and genuine connection.
100%.
Which is all that we're trying to do here at Make Do.
Yes.
So back to our stickers that all are welcome here, also means everyone is going to experience some level of discomfort at Make Do. It may be because you're doing a craft that you're not so sure you're going to be good at. It might be because there's someone that shows up here in the class also that is making you really uncomfortable.
Either that you have no idea how to interact with that person.
Right. It may be someone that you know outside of Make Do, and that relationship already makes you uncomfortable. Like, mm-hmm. There's a bazillion reasons. You might be wearing pants that are too tight, and so you're physically uncomfortable at Make Do. There's all kinds of reasons why you would show up being uncomfortable. But our whole, the whole mission of Make Do is using creativity as a way to engage connection and community. And so that happens through the discomfort.
And you can almost use that creativity like an excuse for why you're so uncomfortable.
Or as a buffer.
Exactly. You focus on that And it becomes not only like, oh, I'm really uncomfortable or I'm kind of awkward right now because I'm trying to learn this mm-hmm. when you might be feeling awkward or uncomfortable in other places. But then the magic happens when that person that you feel uncomfortable around also says, yeah, this makes me really uncomfortable too. I have a hard time trying new things. Then you have a spark mm-hmm. of connection there where you can both bond over the fact that this feels weird. And now you can just kind of feel weird together.
And a lot of times it's not even that literal.
You're right.
I just think, well, like in the quilting class, you can pretty quickly pick up like the people who are perfectionists and they'll connect over that. Or mm-hmm. Someone might feel very aware that maybe they're like being slower than everybody else or mm-hmm. they're holding the group up. Or people might feel like they have too many questions and that can be something that makes them uncomfortable. But each of those things individually is an opportunity for me to say, actually, your questions are benefiting the whole class. Mm-hmm. Or actually, you know, like...
Or people don't work at the same speed.
Yeah, I won't let you not finish. Mm-hmm. Like, you will get it done. And it's a way to encourage people publicly. And then, you know, after a few hours in, you can kind of feel everyone relax and get a little bit more comfortable with who they are in the class.
Exactly. Yeah.
Creativity is a safe way to practice leaving your comfort zone individually mm-hmm. and also, like we've been saying, collectively in a group. I think when I am considering specifically my personal creative life, you know, like I've been wanting to paint more mm-hmm. or what other new thing? Mainly painting is what I've kind of tried to teach myself, or like the graphic design kind of stuff. Yeah. That pushes me outside of where I feel comfortable. But it's all internal. It's not requiring engagement with other people. And then I think when you involve other people, the creativity gives you a buffer. As an introvert, it's nice when I don't feel like I have to fill the space with words, and the creativity project, whatever it is we're working on, kind of fills the silence in a way that makes it natural to not be talking all the time. And then you can kind of warm up to people.
I'm not sure if I experience a lot of uncomfortability. Discomfort. There you go. That's the word. I don't experience a lot of discomfort by myself. Like when you're talking about like when you're.
Well, because like we were saying with the dance class, mm-hmm. it takes the other people to make you feel the discomfort.
Exactly. If I'm trying something new at home, I feel totally fine. It may be frustrating or difficult, but I'm okay with it. Because no one's having to watch me. Mm-hmm. I've incorporated that into the way that I teach my sewing class. I don't hover over the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have performance anxiety, and I want them to get this chance to, like, feel what it's like to sew on your own. And when you make a mistake, then you can call me over, and we can work on it together. But I know I would be so much more nervous if I had someone watching me versus if I was trying something new out on my own.
That's a good point. I will... like when I teach embroidery or something like that, I will explain it to someone, like be up close to show them. And then I'll step back and I will verbally out loud say, I'm going to give you some space. Mm-hmm. Call me back over here if you get stuck. I don't want to stand over your shoulder. And so then I think that lets people feel like they can mess up without me watching them.
But I'm sure there's people who exist in the world who want someone next to them when they're trying someone new because it's when they're trying something new, because it feels like they have someone to rely on. Mm-hmm. But it just goes to show that one thing that makes someone comfortable can make someone uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to know what you need while you're trying something new or pushing yourself outside your comfort zone.
Yeah. And I guess you have to be willing to do it even if you're not getting what you need. That might be another level of the discomfort.
That's true. When I went to a funeral this past, or 2 weeks ago, I guess. And I mean, there were times that I was bored, that I didn't have much to do. But the purpose for why we were there was not to be entertaining and have fun, but was to connect with people. And so sometimes there were awkward pauses in the conversation, and you know, there wasn't much to do. But that was just kind of part of the deal. I just had to be okay with being uncomfortable in those situations.
Yeah. Another level of that, because I was thinking about kind of the instant gratification mindset that we have now, and has that made it to where we don't know how to deal with our discomfort? I think another thing is boredom. Like, mm-hmm. boredom can feel uncomfortable, and then we try to fill it. Like, we just never want to sit with anything that doesn't, that's unpleasant. And so whether it's boredom or discomfort, or just having to wait on something, mm-hmm. we're always trying to not feel that way anymore. So we've gotten to be not very good at it.
Yes. I was very impressed with this group of family members, because I don't even remember once someone pulling out their phone to scroll. Now, mind you, we were in the middle of nowhere, Mississippi, where there's no service. Some people got service, though. But we all collectively, unspokenly, decided it is much better to sit here in silence with each other than it is to pull out our phones and then mindlessly scroll.
Did anybody have any like knitting or cross stitch?
I was that person. Yeah. I was the one that whipped out some cross stitch, but I whipped it out and someone was like, oh, I used to do that. And that's what I like about pulling out some creative mm-hmm. things, is because people go, oh, I remember that. Or mm-hmm. I knit. And it starts a conversation.
Yeah, it is a connecting point.
Yes. So, yeah.
Well, I think it's impossible to grow in any way without discomfort. So physically, you get growing pains.
Yes.
I think when you are trying to grow, like emotionally through therapy or Ooh, some
girl,
other source,
let me
like
tell you,
that is gonna be yes. all kinds of growing pains. Anytime, I think my most recent kind of growing pains have been growing in my social awareness mm-hmm. and getting out of my own bubble of experience mm-hmm. and listening to what other people's experiences have been. And that's very uncomfortable.
Because that butts up against maybe beliefs or feelings that you've had mm-hmm. for a really, really long time. And then mm-hmm. something comes along and changes that. Mm-hmm. That's rough. Mm-hmm. Very painful. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of emotional growing lately, and it is hard work, and it does feel uncomfortable, especially when people have come to expect a certain thing from you. Mm. You know, as you become an adult, people start to solidify their thought about you or the identity that you portray to them. And so when you try to do something or say something that's outside of that, they can try to shove you back in. Mm-hmm. Like, no. This is what you're good at. You're this type of person, or you're this kind of guy. And when you try to grow, it might not just be your own discomfort, but other people's discomfort that tries to make you stagnant.
Right. Especially in the relationships that are like closest to you.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Because that, they want people to be stable and to, oh, I know exactly what to expect from that mm-hmm. person. But the reality is, the true thing that never changes is change. People are always going to be changing and growing. And if you're not, it's a little concerning.
Yeah, man, it's always uncomfortable.
Yeah. So,
do you have anything else?
A lot of the places that I have tended to be uncomfortable is at the request of others. I'm a chronic people pleaser, and I have made myself incredibly uncomfortable for the sake of others. Sometimes I have reaped the benefits of that, and sometimes it has drained me.
So that is actually the opposite of the kind of discomfort we were talking about, because I think that the most of the ways that I'm uncomfortable are in growth. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's things that are making me better. And so that is not the kind of discomfort that you're talking about. Like, what I was talking about is a necessary discomfort.
Yes. I think I don't want anyone to come away from this podcast thinking that they need to make themselves uncomfortable for the sake of others all the time. Mm-hmm. It's going to drain you, and it's just going to really just put a stress on you. So when you're considering whether or not to be uncomfortable, consider why you're doing it. I think purpose is what makes all the difference.
So if I was to summarize what you were saying, if you're putting yourself in a situation to be uncomfortable because your personal growth and betterment requires it, then
you're good to go.
If you are choosing to be uncomfortable so that someone else isn't, or to
try and control what other people think about you.
Okay.
Then no, that's not good. Yeah. But I would also add to your previous section there that if you are going to have discomfort because you're trying to connect with someone, I think that's worthwhile as well.
Right. Well, yeah, I think in that first segment of the appropriate discomfort, yes, it doesn't mean other people aren't ever involved. Mm-hmm. For me, 100% of the time almost that I am uncomfortable, it's because other people are involved. Yes. But it's not coming from necessarily a people-pleasing mm-hmm. way. Now, I might be uncomfortable because I want to put them at ease or I want them to feel welcome and I'm not sure how to do that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm having to navigate figuring out how to connect with them, and that makes me feel uncomfortable. But that's not the same, I don't think, it's people-pleasing.
No, if you are saying yes to someone, oh, we need someone to make 5 pies by tomorrow for this thing because so-and-so dropped out. Can you do that? If you're going to make yourself uncomfortable and put yourself in undue stress just so that that person thinks that, oh, I can always count on them.
Well, I think that the uncomfortable situation you need to put yourself in that instance mm-hmm. is the discomfort of saying no.
There you go.
Because it's not like your option is do something comfortable or make myself uncomfortable and make these pies.
No.
Because actually, if you're a people pleaser, it's more
uncomfortable to say no.
Right. And it's more comfortable on the inside to stretch yourself too far.
And that's where the personal growth comes in. Mm-hmm. You say no for your own personal growth and to say, no, I have other things that I already had planned. I'm not going to be able to do that for you. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it. That's where I guess that's where my personal growth and my discomfort comes in, is having to give myself the space to be a human being and not saying yes to everything that comes my way.
Mm-hmm. I just put myself in situations so that people don't ask me to do things I don't want to do.
So that they don't even
give
you the chance.
I just don't make any connections. Yep, that's how you do it.
Yeah, just don't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
They'll never ask you to make pie. It's
no.
fine.
Then you can do whatever you want.
Exactly.
Okay, you ready to move on?
I sure am.
Okay, so these will be tips, I mm-hmm. guess, to
yeah.
not necessarily ease the discomfort.
Nah, you're going to be uncomfortable. We want you to be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. So, but just what can help you through it?
Yes. So this tip that I had in mind, I was thinking of like you in an escape room. Or me uh-huh. playing a video game. Like when it's something that you know you're not good at.
Uh-huh.
Or like when
I
was...
To be fair, I don't know that I wouldn't be good at
an
escape room.
Joe might be a secret genius. But we don't know. Or like I already knew I wasn't going to be great in the hip-hop dance class.
Mm, yeah.
Here's my tip for you. To let go of control.
Okay.
You cannot control what other people think about you. They're going to think whatever they want, whether you're good at what you're doing or not. Nor can you control what other people do. So if you go into a situation where you're not sure what's going to happen and that makes you uncomfortable, just know that the only thing that you can control is you. So worrying about what other people do, it's it's going to add more stress to
yeah.
you. And so when you let go of that control, it allows you to just enjoy what's happening, be in the moment. When I was in the middle of that dance class, it took me several active tries to just, okay, I'm not concerned with who's watching behind me. I'm not concerned with what I'm looking like in the mirror. I'm going to try and feel the music and enjoy this moment. And it made it much more pleasurable mm-hmm. to be in that class.
And most likely, a lot of people in that class are feeling the exact same way that you are.
They probably were all looking at
themselves. Like that is maybe where I would add on to what you're saying is nobody is looking at you like you're looking at you.
Yes.
I think sometimes though, we know how we look at other people and we're afraid that someone is looking at us like we look at other people.
Yes.
And then that should just teach you to quit looking at other people yes. like that. Quit being so judgy.
Be kind.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's my first tip.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Something that might be similar And I don't know if this is like defining, using the word in the definition of a word.
Oh.
But embrace the discomfort. Like, just recognize that it's part of the process and it's not bad.
Oh, so you're saying like, don't try to avoid it.
Yeah. Just, what would say yours again? How did you say it?
Oh, let go of control.
Let go of control. So quit trying to maybe control the discomfort. Maybe in that way it's the same, but also like, let it just be a thing that it is.
Feel awkward. Feel uncomfortable. Yeah. Let the awkward pause happen.
Right. I don't think you have to try to figure out how to not be awkward or how to not be uncomfortable. Just like I can't, my fainting is a physiological response. I can't, no matter how hard I try, figure out how to not make it happen. And so I just have to like be okay with the fact that I'm going to be uncomfortable when I go to the doctor. And that just is how it is.
Yeah. You don't want to have unrealistic expectations of,
right,
oh, if I could just go to the doctor and not have any adverse reactions, that's unreasonable.
And what it does is it limits the amount of time that I let myself feel it. So like I made my appointment a week ago, and it was kind of hanging over my head a little bit, but I just kept telling myself, you know what? It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I wasn't dreading it for so long. I mean, it still wasn't great, but I think it could be the same with any uncomfortable situation. If you're choosing to go to the dance class again, mm-hmm, then you just embrace the fact I'm going to feel uncomfortable, but that's not a reason that I'm not going to go.
Yes.
The feeling's not going to go away. So I'm just going to accept it.
Because ultimately, we're trying to tell you that it is what you get out of being uncomfortable is worth so much more than it's worth it's worth being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever new thing that you're trying out, or new idea, or new connection.
And most things aren't going to stay uncomfortable forever, because the practice, yes, of it is what makes you realize it's not so scary and gets you comfortable with it. So if you go to the dance class regularly, it will become a non-issue.
Exactly. Although I'm always uncomfortable talking on the phone, and I do it all the time. I don't know when I'm going to stop being uncomfortable with that.
But what's different about that is it's a different person every time, and you, ooh, don't ever know how it's going to
so
go.
Right. Yes.
Like there's talking on the phone is unknown every time. Mm-hmm. Whereas your dance class, there's going to be some things that
are
the
repeated.
Same.
And so, mm-hmm, you can,
mm-hmm.
So maybe there's something to be said of the unknown. Mm-hmm. We've talked a lot about control, but part of being uncomfortable is not knowing what's going to happen, mm-hmm, which I guess is kind of control. It's kind of like the flip side of that.
Right, right.
Yeah. All right. My next tip is know what you need / the purpose that you're there. So why are you choosing to make yourself uncomfortable? Okay. We talked about this a little bit earlier. Are you doing it because you want to try and control what someone thinks about you? Or are you being uncomfortable for like a good reason, or for like, uh-huh, an exact purpose? So my purpose for going to the dance class was to move my body and to have a good time. So I was willing to be uncomfortable for those two things.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind as you're being uncomfortable, because if you are putting yourself in a situation where you're like, yeah, I said yes to this person because I want them to like me, or I want them to think well of me, that's not a good enough reason to be uncomfortable, at least in my opinion.
Well, because then it's not about you at all. It's about them.
Mm-hmm. I think about you telling the story about having your nails painted yellow.
Oh.
That it was very important that you did that. Uh-huh. Not because you wanted people to like you, but that, right, you wanted to be seen a certain way.
Right. I wanted to control the narrative.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you said you didn't have time or, mm-hmm, something like that. So, like, it's not worth being late so that you don't feel uncomfortable without your nail polish on. Like, it just wouldn't have been worth it.
Right. Also, but I wouldn't put that in with comfort at all. But it does fit in with, like, the control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a couple that might be the same, but I'm going to split them up anyway. So my next tip is to just be honest with yourself. I think it's different, though, than what you were just saying. Like, you were talking about, are you, which we had talked about before, like, are you being a people pleaser? Are you uncomfortable because growth is uncomfortable? Yeah. This is about not trying to pretend like the thing doesn't make you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So
just fake it until you make it, yes. Right?
Exactly. How could I have a conversation without dumping on the phrase fake it till you make it? Be honest about the thing and that it makes you feel uncomfortable, and then realize that you are having courage to still step into that situation, even though it's going to be uncomfortable.
You're just letting it be. It just is what it is.
Yeah. And I think when we are, for example, let's just keep talking about me passing out. When I can say, this is just part of who I am, and I'm not trying to force it not to happen, then it makes it easier for me to accept it. So it is back to that embracing the discomfort. But I think we're only able to do that if we're being honest.
You're right. All right. Hit me with your next one. I'm all out of tips.
Okay. I have two more. So my next one is to show up authentically.
Okay.
So at the doctor today, not only was I honest with myself, but I was upfront with the people who needed to know this could potentially happen. Now, I didn't tell everyone when I was walking in.
You didn't turn to the person in the waiting room. Yeah. Like, I'm totally going to pass
out. Right.
But
I told the people that needed to know. If it is me showing up in social situations, a lot of times being authentic means like hanging back at the beginning, because that is honestly where I feel more comfortable, and not trying to put on a
show. False show.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still going to put on a show eventually, but like, yeah. I can just give myself time to show up as my authentic self when I do show up. At the dance class, just show up in as you are for the reasons you are, mm-hmm. and just be authentic in that. So it's a lot of being honest with yourself. It's similar to that, except I think that it is the external version of it. So that first tip is like internal, being mm-hmm. honest on the inside with yourself, and authenticity is showing up honestly to other people.
Mm. Gotcha.
Maybe that's how I would distinguish them.
Yeah. Not wanting to pretend.
Right. My last tip is to have a distraction.
Oh, like, well, how did you, you don't get distracted when you have a procedure.
No,
done.
I took, but I did take my iPad so I could read a book. So like I had to wait quite a while in the lobby. And so I just was reading instead of sitting there obsessing about it. And then when I was actually like doing mm-hmm. the thing, I had them take my glasses. So like, I couldn't really see anything and everything was a little bit fuzzy. I'll like focus on my breath. That's nothing new.
Yeah. But like when I was in this family situation where there was going to be a lot of like sitting around, uh-huh. I brought some cross stitch. Yes. Just
or
make it easier.
In your dance class, you can choose not to look at yourself,
which is exactly what I did. I was focused on.
And I think a lot of times, that's why other people would be looking at you, because you then are serving as the distraction
yes.
to themselves, and they probably aren't thinking. If you are like a horrible dancer,
yes,
it's actually probably encouraging to them.
Yeah, that I'm there and showing up yeah. and doing my thing.
Yeah, or if you're like a fantastic dancer, then also that could be encouraging, or it could make them feel like there's no way they'll ever be as good as you.
That'll help us all.
At the instructor or picking another spot in the room or whatever.
Yeah.
Or pretending you're by yourself.
But that distraction is not taking away from the original purpose, right? Mm-hmm. If your distraction then becomes, if it inhibits like why you were there for like personal growth or connection, then it's no longer a distraction. It's an avoidance of being uncomfortable.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. So maybe a better way to say it would be like to find a focal point.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not a distraction. Maybe it's like when you're
paying attention to something in mm-hmm. particular rather than focusing on mm-hmm. being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. There you go. Good tip.
Yeah, that's all of them. I feel like we breezed through that.
Sometimes the conversation comes hard and fast. Sometimes it's a little bit low and slow, but both of them I enjoy.
Yeah. Or sometimes we also don't have a lot to say. I don't know. This felt like a smaller topic, a niched down topic.
Yeah. Well, we didn't want to make you too uncomfortable.
What if that had, what if we were like, we'll make people feel like they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't have to listen.
No, they'd be just like,
stop listening.
I'm skipping this.
Yeah. This is uncomfortable. You know, though, us having conversations week to week in a microphone is a practice in discomfort.
Yeah, I guess it is. Especially at the beginning, trying to learn the process of
doing
this. Or
sometimes even at the beginning of every episode feels weird and awkward.
Yes.
And also when there, if we're talking about a subject that I think might be inflammatory, you know, in any way. So, but we don't shy away from the discomfort.
No, we show up.
I will say, have you ever watched any of the Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man?
No, I haven't. Where can
it
you find them?
It is Emmanuel Ancho. I follow him on Instagram. I think he used to play football maybe, but he started doing this series, Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man, around 2020 after George Floyd was murdered. Oh. And so a lot of the conversations center around race, but it will be, he talks to a wide range of people. And the whole point of it is that he's sitting down and committing to having the uncomfortable conversation, that it's so much easier to just not have, and that's part of our problem. So I know I maybe have mentioned him before in our Art of Communication episode or when we talked about social tension. I'll link both of those down in the description if you have not listened to them. But he is just a good example of like not shying away from things that are uncomfortable. Because like we said, any kind of growth requires discomfort and
absolutely,
getting out of your own worldview and experience to listen to someone else is never easy.
Nope, it isn't.
Okay, do you want to do your sweet or sour this time? I always try to pick one and then you want to do the other one first. So you get to decide.
I'll do my sweet first.
Okay.
So I have an opportunity. I got commissioned to do some costumes.
Ooh.
Which is
like for Halloween?
It's not for Halloween. It's like for a production.
Hey.
I know. I'm super excited. And they're like, yeah, you have like basically a year to do it. And I was like, you're kidding. I know.
Can you tell us what it is or is it a secret?
Honestly, I don't quite understand what it is. I think it's some sort of play that happens. So it's going to be like some historical costuming too. I'm meeting with someone later on this week about it and, you know, figure out what they want. And I'm going to get paid to do it. Like, I thought it was just going to be like, hey, volunteer your time. And I would have been like,
how many costumes do you have to make?
Like 8 costumes. I don't know how a year. Mm-hmm. I don't know like how detailed they are. Again, I haven't been to this meeting, but I'm kind of excited. This is my first like costuming commission.
Right. How are they going to tell you what you're getting paid or you get to offer up a price?
This is why we need to talk at the meeting.
Yeah.
So we're going to hash all of that out.
How fascinating. Yes. Well, I'm excited to hear more about that as it unfolds.
Yes. What's your sweet?
My sweet is that I didn't pass out today.
Yes. You did it.
Yes, that's my sweet.
Which I mean,
quite nice.
Not that like you could control that anyways.
No, you know, but it was back to all those tips. I mean, it was me showing up as my authentic self, being honest, embracing the discomfort, like, and then I mean, I got close, but I didn't. And every time that happens, I'm like, oh, yeah, if I can, I could have not said anything.
Mm-hmm.
I could have, you know, like forced my way into being okay. And then I absolutely would have passed out.
Yeah.
So.
But you asked, you knew what you needed.
Mm-hmm.
And you were authentically like, this is how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
So good work.
I'm really proud of myself.
You should.
Yeah.
You should be. All right. My sour is that I'm sore from that dance class.
Ooh.
There were squats happening. We did some core work for like a whole song. No rest. Just constant like core work and like sit-ups and like different.
That's a sour?
Things. Look,
I love being sore. I haven't been workout sore in so long.
That probably means you're in better shape than I am.
No, it means I'm not doing anything. Because I can't raise my arm above my elbow.
It's fair. But, yeah, I just feel very sore. And I'm usually sore, like, 2 days after. So having this, like, 1 day after is, I had a hard time getting up off the floor last night once I got home. I was like, Richard, come pick me up. I can't do this.
Yeah. Also, I just feel like it needs to be said that being sore is not a measure of a good workout.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there a measure of a good workout?
I mean, if you are seeing results or like if you're getting stronger, if you're, but like sometimes I think we, when we have those mantras like no pain, no gain and beast mode and all of that. And sometimes all that does is break your body. So it doesn't mean that it's healthy.
Okay. Well, I'm not looking for it anyways. I just, I'm just like,
Well, yeah, it's a sour for you. Yeah. I'm sorry. I look forward to the time that my quads are so sore that I can hardly go to the bathroom.
Love it.
Okay, my sour is that Pip got out of the backyard last night. She's fine now.
Wait. Okay.
She ran away.
What happened? You have a gate.
I'm unsure. Yeah, so I don't know if I left the gate open. Like, if I didn't close. You have to make sure to close it. So I'm very aware of always closing it. But like maybe my hands were full when I came in. I don't know. I also can't remember if this was the first time that she went outside after I had come home. But I just thought, man, she's been outside for a while. So I check on her because she'll be digging or something. Yeah. And so I just went outside to look for her. Cause I don't always call her. Like, so I won't mess with her if she's being fine. So I went outside and the gate was open she was not
in the
backyard.
So,
and
what happened
so
next?
I said some curse words, a string of them. And then I went inside and got her leash because I thought I can't just go like, what am I going to just
grab
her
and, collar and then drag her back?
And so I went and got her leash. I went out the front door. I called her a couple times. I didn't know which way she had gone. And then my neighbor, like all the way at the other end of the street, heard me call her and said, she's over there. So I thought, okay, at least he's seen her. Mm-hmm. He's the same neighbor. I don't remember if I told the story about when Pip got out when I was on the roof.
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, I'll tell that in a minute if you want to hear it. Anyway, he's the same neighbor that helped with that situation. So I didn't call her again, but I guess she had heard me the first two times. And so she came bounding toward me.
She's
so
like,
excited.
Oh, hey.
And I don't know where she had been, but my neighbor, I have a new neighbor next door. And she said, yeah. So, and she doesn't have tags that identify her. Because
I thought she has a little
it
thing.
It broke. Like, or the tag that she had broke, and I just haven't got her a new one. So she only has her rabies tag, which I guess that has the vet's number on it, so they could still identify her that way. But anyway, so I just put her leash on her and took her back home. She's and she just was so excited. She's like foaming at the mouth. Then we went inside, and then she laid down and was conked out. So I don't know if she was out for 3 minutes or if she was out for 15. I really don't know. But scared the crap out of
me. I bet. It's always so nerve-wracking when you can't find a pet. I went home after work yesterday and I let the dogs out. I looked everywhere for my cat and I was like, oh no, how long has my cat been out? I've been, because he will run out the door. I opened up my husband's office door and he just came wandering out. I was like, you just got shut up in a room. I hate that.
Well, Pip got out when my dad was here. I was cleaning my roof. And so I had gotten on the ladder and was on the roof. And then my dad had moved the ladder to do something else. Well, he was talking to me and had the gate open and Pip escaped out. And he called her. Of course she did not come. And then I couldn't get off the roof.
Not fast enough.
No, I couldn't get it off the roof.
Oh, because he had moved
the
ladder.
He had moved the ladder. So I'm like stuck on the roof. So I climb over so I can see the front where she went. Well, then I can't see anything. Then that other neighbor was like letting her chase him around his yard. And there's busy streets on each side of my street. So anyway, my dad's like, Joe, I can't get her. And I'm like, Daddy, I can't get off the roof. So he had to come back, move the ladder, let me get off the roof.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, it's just so scary.
Are you learning anything new this week?
Since yesterday.
Since yesterday? Have you picked up any new skills?
Well, I am learning I can't let Pip out by herself.
That's true. Yeah, but that gate.
Today I learned that
you don't always pass out.
Yeah,
that's good. I've been learning how to communicate better with Richard. He was working really hard on his car last night, and not last night.
Two nights ago.
And I could tell he was hot and tired. And I just looked at him and I went, I know you're trying to do this so that we can have two cars, but I think it's worth the inconvenience of just having one car. I think we should go to bed. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me. He's like, oh, yeah, I think you're right. Because I could just tell, like, being frustrated and staying there through that was just going to make things worse.
Yeah.
And so it was worth, like, trying to figure out a ride rather than watching him toil away at that. Mm-hmm. And I was just so proud of us for, like, him listening to me and then me being able to be like, look, it's okay. We'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like, don't force yourself on this.
Yeah.
So.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
That's about it.
We recorded two this week because Madison's going on vacation.
Oh, thank goodness.
But by the time this one airs, you'll be back.
Yes.
But
I will have enjoyed my break.
Anyway, and then it's fall.
Well.
Fall calendar.
Yeah, fall calendar.
School starts soon.
Yeah, that'll be nice. But it will not feel like fall until about November around here.
Yeah. Sometimes October, because sometimes you have to make a jacket for your costume.
This is very true. Yeah, but it's like end of October.
True. October 31st is almost
it's
November.
Like, no, it's basically cold. Yeah. Now.
But I do love starting around the middle of October and then November, and then it's my favorite month.
Yes. December. It's your birthday month. All right. Well, on that lovely and happy note, y'all go and get a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. And then tell us about it.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Ending is always uncomfortable, too. Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson, that's Hudson with a T, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at Make Do Create or on Facebook at Make Do Cersei, and visit our website, makedocreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things. We'll be back here with another episode next Monday. Have a good week, y'all.